how do you decide that you're going to do mission A over mission B without understanding which one's more important? If they're all important, then nothing really is important. That caused us to look extensively at the thing that was called the Defense Strategic Review from January 2012, which was the basis for the QDR for 2014. And in trying to figure out, okay, what do these missions mean and what are they all about and what is the QDR really trying to say, we found ourselves actually looking at it and thinking, well, the QDR is actually repackaging those 10 or 12 missions into what they call three pillars. But again, there just seemed to be this lack of clarity of priority.
What does the National Defense Panel recommend for DoD in terms of priorities? What should be the things that are at the top of their to-do list, and what are things that can maybe be towards the bottom?
We took a more strategic perspective on this rather than looking at the particular discrete missions and saying, well, for Homeland Security, you need to do this, and for nonproliferation, you need to do that. We were looking at what resourcing would be available to the Department of Defense and to the nation writ large. One of the things that is important to understand is that it is better for the United States Department of Defense to have a capability in hand that it may not need rather than to need the capability and not possess it. An underlying emphasis in this kind of analysis is to try and ensure that the President of the United States, the Commander-in-Chief of the U.S. military, has options. And when the Department of Defense cannot present the Commander-in-Chief with options, then the Commander-in-Chief is placed in a very tough position of either saying, well, we can't do this national mission, you know, I'm going to have to let this interest go away because I can't defend it, or he or she will have to use something that is totally inappropriate.
And under those budget cuts and sequestration, what can DoD do to make sure that it does have this capacity and this capability that you've talked about?
The panel talked about a lot about sequestration and the impact that it would have if it goes back into effect again. And on the 1st of October of 2015, it goes back into effect for all of the federal government. If it went into effect, the force structure of the Army would have to go down even lower than what it is now. Right now, it's going down to between 440 to 450,000. It'll go down to 420. Now, some of that number of 420 goes into special operations forces. So if you took out the Army elements that become part of special operations, that's about 30,000, and you subtract that from the 420,000, you're now talking about a regular Army force of 390,000. That's not much at all. And you will see the force structure of the Army go down as well. Instead of having 50 or so brigade combat teams, the Army might even be down to 37 to include the 19 that would be in the reserve component and National Guard, and the 18 that would be on active duty. Going back to this options analogy, that doesn't give the president a lot of options. So sequestration is a huge issue, and the panel made the recommendation that the Budget Control Act be repealed and sequestration turned back. Again, because the Department of Defense cannot work on a day-to-day basis with budget uncertainty. The things that the department has to have take time to train, to create, to educate, to design and build, and you can't just do it overnight.
Another thing that the panel I read suggests in the review is to trim back some of the civilian and the contractor workforce within DOD through things like reductions in force and also things like buyouts. How would this help the Defense Department overall with the options and also with readiness?
Well, it's a recognition that the role of the civilian force, the civilian workforce for the Department of Defense has been extremely important to the success of the U.S. military over the last 10 years. But the growth has gotten out of hand. Since 2001, the size of the civilian workforce in the Department of Defense has grown by 15% to more than 800,000 individuals. And the defense contracting force has also grown to where we now have 670,000 contractors working for the Department of Defense. To put that in perspective, that is almost three times the size of the Army, the active duty Army. So you have to look at this and think, okay, if we're withdrawing the forces from Afghanistan, we're already out of Iraq, we're lowering the size of all the forces, you're going to have civilians who are currently employed whose jobs really need to be reassessed.
Another thing that the Defense Department suggested in its QDR is to use base realignment and closure, or BRAC. What's the panel's view on that?
The panel believes that there is a need for BRAC, and it encourages the executive branch and the legislative branch to come together and work on making the BRAC issue functional again. There are two different kinds of BRAC actions that could be considered, and there is reluctance on the part of the legislative branch to allow a BRAC to go into effect again because of concerns that it's not economical. That's one kind of BRAC, but if you look at another kind of BRAC where you work with the civilian community and you transform military infrastructure into something that can be productive and useful for the civilian community, it can be a win-win situation. But people have to be willing to at least consider that option, and the panel urges both branches of the government to come together and explore this. An example that you might want to consider is the old Fort Ord out in California near Monterey, California. That has turned into a campus for the California State University system. It's turned into a civilian airport for the city of Monterey. A whole lot of other things have come out of it because it was done smartly. It was done in cooperation between the military and the local civilian community so that they both benefited.
What can Congress do to implement some of the changes suggested in the panel's review?
It needs to repeal the Budget Control Act. It needs to stop that. It's a self-inflicted wound, if you will. You know, it's a conscious decision by the executive branch and the legislative branch to cut funding in a short-term effort to save money. But in the long term, it is going to be a greater burden on the American people and their Defense Department. It might get quick money, but in the long run, it's going to cost a lot more to rectify the problems that they think they're trying to create. And you're not going to solve America's fiscal issues on the back of the Department of Defense. It just isn't going to work. Then the department should determine the funding levels necessary to remedy their short-term readiness crisis, and Congress should appropriate those funds on an emergency basis. And then we would think we recommended in this environment, this unstable budget environment in which the department has been working, the QDR itself is not adequate as a comprehensive long-term planning document, and that Congress ought to turn to the department and ask for such a plan that would be developed without undue emphasis on these current budgetary constraints, and that should address the future needs of the department, especially in terms of sizing the military correctly.